Hi friends, Mercedes here, and I'm going to talk to you guys about an awesome, rad, much needed company called Sheltered Co. Sheltered Co. was created by a mother for her autistic daughter. It's crocheted by hand in Los Angeles with deadstock fabric with no added fillers. This is a weighted blanket that helps children and adults regulate their body from stresses of everyday life. It also helps with better sleep, and you guys, it's gorgeous to look at and will make any room in your home look cozier and more comfortable. Please, if you're in the market for a weighted blanket, and even if you're not, but you need better sleep and to regulate your body or your child's body, please head over to shelteredco.com. Use the discount code LUCKYFEW15 for 15% off and purchase yourself a beautiful quality blanket.
Okay. You ready, guys?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. This should be a good conversation.
Am I still on?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You're great.
All right. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Micah.
Mercedes.
And Heather.
And today it's just the three of us chatting about how to find your people, how to find community. We're so excited to have this conversation, and we always love when it's just the three of us chatting it up. So thanks for joining us, friends. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Right. It's July. The sun is beaming high. And I just wrote that song.
Get out. That wasn't already recorded as
not a cover song.
What? That wasn't by T Swift.
No.
Good one, Micah.
Thanks, guys. How's your July going?
Ooh.
So splendid. Splendid. I was with Micah in July. That's at right. Her house in New Jersey.
In New Jersey. And, you know, everybody's invited. Everybody else, you're all invited. Come on over to my house.
I like July, you guys. I like the month of July. I like heat. I like summer. I'm basically like Olaf, but not made of snow.
I love it.
I agree. I love heat, summer. I love sweaty kids, dirty kids, sunscreen kids. I love like staying up late, catching fireflies. I love 4th of July fireworks, all of it.
The best.
Yeah.
The best. We don't have fireflies on the West Coast, and we are suffering for that. It makes me so sad.
Because they're so magical.
They are magical. You're just driving at dusk and all of a sudden there's just lights everywhere, like little sparkle twinkles on the fields. It's ridiculous.
And it's really only on the East Coast. Like we don't have them in Texas. When I was a kid, we had them in Texas.
They're in the Midwest. They're in Iowa. That's my most familiar state besides California.
Yes.
And that was one of my very favorite things about going to Iowa. There's like the list of things I loved. And we always went in the summer and catching fireflies was on the list. Mm. Yeah. Or not catching them, if that offends you. We just watched them.
You can catch, you know, they're so easy to catch. You can hold them in your hand and let them release. It's not like you're torturing them.
Like almost like a ladybug?
Yes. Yeah, it's like a ladybug because they're so slow and they're lighting up in front of you and it's dusk and you just like stick out your little hands and you just sort of cup around them and then you open up and there it is all lit up in your hands.
The cutest. Okay. We're going to talk today about finding your people and finding friends in the Down syndrome community. Micah, Mercedes, and I are friends.
We are.
Yay.
That helps on the podcast, I think.
Right.
And before we get into that conversation, and it'll be a good one, we have a review from a listener. Sorry, my brain went blank there for a second on what these are called. A review from a listener that I'd love to read, from Tara B6. And Tara B6 says, I am so grateful for this podcast. I had the great pleasure of meeting Micah in person for an amazing Down Syndrome Mama's dinner pre-pandemic in the Bay Area. Micah, the Bay Area misses you. Aww. So this podcast already felt like hearing from friends, and add in the fact that they feature my daughter's phenomenal pediatrician regularly.
Dr. Spinazzi.
Dr. Spinazzi. And that they empower the voices of those with Down syndrome, and the fact that they cover everything a parent of Down syndrome might want to talk, think, hear about. And you get this gift of a podcast. Oh, and Mercedes has the best laugh ever.
Oh my God.
Give it to us. There it is. There it is. Yes. Thank you, ladies, for the work and for your words. This podcast is so important to the Down syndrome community. Love from Tara, fiercely proud mom to Simona, age 5.5. Thank you, Tara.
Simona.
Yes. Thank you, Tara. That was a great dinner. All the good times pre-pandemic.
Yes. Hopefully we're coming back to some of that. Thank you for leaving that review, Tara. And friends listening, don't forget that you too can review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. And then maybe we'll read it on our next episode, because we would love to do that. We love reading these, and we really appreciate all of your support.
All right. Well, you guys, let's chat. I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
When I found out I was having a baby with Down syndrome, I did what a lot of people probably do. I looked things up online. And one of the first things I looked up online was a support group. I wanted to find a support group in San Francisco. And you know what I found?
What?
Not a support group in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I found one support group, and it was Spanish speaking. And I almost tried to find a translator who could go with me. But it was really disappointing. It was really hard. And, you know, that's not to say that there wasn't support in the Bay Area. There was. But a lot of those places are suburbs that are like an hour away from where I lived. And so it felt really overwhelming to try to find a community of other parents raising children with Down syndrome. And so I'm wondering if you guys have any stories like that. Did it feel easy? Did it feel hard? How did it happen for y'all?
Mine was easy. So that's not helpful. But
it is helpful. Yeah. Tell us more, Mercedes.
I think too, the mix. I was familiar with Down syndrome before having Sunflower, you know, just with the volunteer work I did and the work that I was kind of going towards, or career path I was going towards. So I felt comfortable with that. And then I also adopted. And then I also had not only Josh, like I had Josh and Heather, who had adopted and had Macy, and she was little and it was so sweet. And I also had a support group as far as families who I knew, because I had done some sort of like events or work or summer camps with their adult children with Down syndrome. So I felt, I guess I should say, I felt taken care of. Like I didn't even know about the DSDN until Sunflower was like five or six, you know. And I'm not a social media at the time. I am now, I guess, but I wasn't a social media person. So I wouldn't have known to look on Facebook. And I don't even think Facebook groups are really that in, but that's kind of wrong too, because I think that's when the DSDN started around that time. But I wouldn't have known to look up on social media support groups or even that sense. I felt so, I don't know, uniquely, I felt very taken care of.
Yeah.
And we had the Laguna Beach group. Now I can't think of it, but I had a group
you
that
had,
would go
ICEC.
Wednesday. Yeah, ICEC in Laguna, where we'd meet every Wednesday. And Sunflower is still friends with Capono, and they go to Terry Brown together now. So she has a couple of baby friends where they did therapy in those early ages of like 2 months old, 3 months old. Wow. And now they go to Terry Brown together. So that's
so
fun. Cool.
So ICEC, mm-hmm. just for people who don't know, that was where you went for therapy?
Yeah, so they did a little bit.
Before preschool.
Yeah, so early intervention. This one we found out through Regional Center, and people would come. It was funded. It's a nonprofit. It was funded by, my mind is going blank, but it was funded by a nonprofit. So it's not everywhere. So I feel very fortunate that it was in Laguna. So close to me, like 15 minutes away at the time. And we'd meet every Wednesday, and it was just like a bunch of families with brand new babies. Mm. So it's from 0 to 1 years old.
Wow.
And all different disabilities, which was also super beautiful and impactful. And you would do like music time, and then you would break off into your little groups of like five, like usually around like 3 to 5, you and like family. So it'd usually be moms who would come with their babies, but sometimes there would be dads or grandmas as well. But you would break off. So me and Sunflower would show up every Wednesday in our cute little outfits because we were, you know, mother daughter, matchy match. Yeah. Matchy match headband. She was my only child. So I was like basically pretending. And so we'd show up and do the little circle time with the music. And then you would go to your different areas where they try out the bouncy ball, the swing, the big pool of like cereal and rice and sensory bins. And then they'd introduce feeding. It'd be like almost like a little intro to each thing, PT, OT, feeding class. Mm. And then just in case you weren't able to receive that through insurance, you could kind of get a feel for it there. And then the last 45 minutes would be these things called grandmas who would sit in rocking chairs and hold all the babies while the moms and dads would, or whoever, would be upstairs doing a therapy session with like a licensed therapist. And it would be like group therapy. We'd all sit in a room and moms and dads could share wow. hardships, joys. How does this all feel? It was so beautiful. Like you kind of always left crying, but not like, cause it's woe is me. It's like, wow, this is hard. And we're talking about it. And it's also beautiful. And you share a likely story like me, or you share that same feelings. Okay. I don't feel so bad. Or it was really, really beautiful.
Wow.
And so I didn't feel lonely, but I know friends who weren't able to go to those kinds of things did, like if they worked full time, you know, and weren't able to like go, they had a different experience that first year than I did a little bit.
Yeah. That's beautiful that you had that. It's incredible. What a gift. What a gift. And I think that's kind of rare. I mean, there's things like Gigi's Playhouse, everywhere. But when, so Macy's 13, and 13 years ago, Facebook was very much a thing. Instagram didn't exist, but social media just wasn't the place that you went to find things, you yes. know, 13 years ago. And I remember when we knew we were going to say yes to bringing her home, like going to Barnes and Noble and looking up books about Down syndrome. And it was like, oh, here's one. And it was kind of a bummer. And looking up YouTube videos about kids with Down syndrome. And there was very, very few. There was hardly anything. I remember seeing a little toddler dancing like at a concert and thinking that's going to be my kid and feeling really excited about that. But then I didn't know where to go for community. I didn't feel too scared or alone in that, because a little bit similar to Mercedes, we did an adoption plan with Mace. And so there was just a different mindset when she came home. And I had been a special education teacher. And so I did have students and families in my life who I taught high school. So I had young adults and teenagers in my life who had Down syndrome, and sweet moms who like came alongside right away, and students and families who came like to Mason's baby shower and all of that. But the Inland Empire is where Macy came home to. It's where we live now as well. It's in San Bernardino County. It sounds fancier than it is, guys. It's not fancy, but
is it the word empire?
Inland Empire. there's nothing. The Inland Empire is massive. San Bernardino County is one of the largest counties in the nation. There's nothing. There's nothing. We don't have any kind of a support. There's nothing. Nowhere to go. So here's my first friend. Macy's first friend with Down syndrome. Macy was under a year. I think she was kind of on my hip, but floppy, and maybe like 8 months. And I was at Panera, and she, in line in front of me, like three or four people in front of me, was a mom with her son on her hip who had Down syndrome. I was certain, but I wasn't certain enough to be like, you have Down syndrome. I wasn't comfortable enough to say that. And so I kind of tried to pretend like I accidentally bumped into her so she could initiate it. And she did. She's like, oh my gosh, does your daughter have Down syndrome? And then we sat together. We shared a booth that morning. Her name is Marlena. She listens to the podcast. Shout out. Her son is Alden. And Alden is 6 months older than Macy. And they lived in the same city as us. And that started a friendship with them. And then at our first buddy walk, which we went to the one in Orange County, we met two people who had kids the same age as Macy. Macy was 1 year old when we went to our first buddy walk. And there were two little girls. So Callie and Holly. And I just started a little thing with the four of us. So we didn't all live in the same city, but close enough. So we would try to meet up about once a month, the four of us. And we did that for a couple of years. And that was my introduction to friendships with people who are raising kids with Down syndrome. So, and then DSDN didn't exist then. So I also didn't hear about DSDN. They're a great resource for people. Like, we'll talk about resources. Yeah. And they've got groups wherever you live. There will be a group, I'm sure. I'm sure there's one here in Redlands where I live. Or within close proximity, but that didn't exist when Macy was born. And then by the time August came home, I didn't need that community because we had it over the years. We had established it. And so I actually didn't learn about DSDN until 2017. I didn't know anything about them until I learned about them at a Down Syndrome Congress conference in NDSC. And I was like, wow, this is great. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me, it took a long time to find locally what I was hoping for, it kind of happened by when Ace was one, he was allowed to do these kind of classes that sound a little bit like what you were talking about, Mercedes, but without the peers and support. But I did meet some people, and but I think the most important thing for me was getting to know you guys and finding internet support, because that was really, and I think that's the value of what DSDN is doing, is putting together groups of parents whose kids are the same age. And I think it is, whether you can find the support in person, the gift of the internet is that you can find the support somehow. So I wanted to ask you guys what's the value for you of having good friendships of other parents raising kids with Down syndrome?
It's everything. It's everything. I mean, I'll tell a story. So I talk about it like finding your people who get it. And Josh and I, or the way that I've put words to it over the years, is finding people that you can be around where my shoulders are down. I feel like a lot of the time, and it is increasingly so as Macy gets older, most places my shoulders are up a little bit. And what I mean by that is I'm aware of the fact that we're living in a world where Down syndrome is still very much too different, like feels too different and therefore uncomfortable for people. And my kids respond to the world differently. And it's like the social norms are different. You know, they don't meet up to those. They don't fit in the molds and nor should they. I will add that piece there, but that just means shoulders up for me when I enter into spaces, and more so when I'm with families who don't have kids with Down syndrome, but there's a lot of kids around. I'm just hyper aware of what is happening, you know, like with around my kids. Are they being included? Are they not being included? Are they going to take their shirt off? You know, like, or are they going to, I don't know, are they going to do something that's going to make someone feel super uncomfortable? I'm working through that in terms of that's not my, other people's comfort level around my kids. It's not my responsibility, nor is it my children's responsibility, but it's still, I still feel that discomfort often. So finding places where I can have my shoulders down is so super important, because we're also a very social family. I mean, we have people, we are doing something with other people 5 days a week, at least. We just are always, there's always someone else involved in our lives in some way. And there's not a lot of shoulders down places for me. We recently went to there's a group of families from our church. There's about five families and we get together often, and our kids range from, I don't know, the youngest is like 5 and the oldest is 16. No, that's not true. 17. And so there's a lot of kids and large gaps, but there's a lot of Mason's peers, neurotypical peers. And I will sometimes make up excuses to not go when all the families are hanging out, because they don't get it. And it doesn't mean that they don't adore me and love me. And I've talked to them, you know, we've had conversations, and it's also like, yeah, I don't want to have to teach your kids how to be around my kids. Mm-hmm. And some days it feels easy. And some days when everything's just been a lot, I don't have the capacity to enter the space and having to worry about whether or not Macy's being included and how people are feeling about her. And if she's going to act in a way that makes everyone uncomfortable, and you know, all those things. And so to go back to that question, how important is it to have people in our life who get it? It's everything. Cause I have to have those shoulder down places, you know. Do you guys resonate with that at all? With any of that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that it's harder for me to, because Ace doesn't speak and because he's not that interested in other kids, I don't feel that yet. And I think I probably will. And there are still moments where I'm sad that he's not like playing with other kids, but it also is that he's not super interested in it. But yeah, I can feel what you're saying. Of like, I don't want to always be instructing my friend's kids. I don't want to always be giving the same speech or the same, or having that worry that I can't just like settle in and be happy hanging out because I don't know what's going on over there.
I think, yes, I agree. I see it more as Sunny gets older. I think I'm experiencing it a little bit more. Heather, there was like times though when she was younger where she was very much still little, maybe because she wasn't walking as well, or like her peers were playing with dolls and Sunflower was still kind of needing help with certain things. Like I remember when I felt a little bit more that way when she was like 5, where ways were still maybe more like a 3-year-old, where her peers were so 5, like saying a lot and like just experiencing and doing more. Like house parties were always difficult, you know. Sunny was still in a diaper, so then it'd be like, I think she pooped, you know, little stuff like that that was just like, ugh. like not that comfortable. And also I could see Sunny be embarrassed, you know, and then we found our sweet spot a little bit. And I've seen now that we're kind of doing different classes though, and like different things like that, where she is mostly in typical settings where, that feeling again arises, where my shoulders come up a little bit, 'cause I'm feeling all the feels for her and for the situation, like birthday parties. So now Sunflower's getting invited to birthday parties, and some have been drop-off birthday parties, but I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's not a successful thing for Sunflower. Still, I think her best places are outdoor activities, like in-home things. She'll just decide to go play by herself or find a stack of books to read, and she'll like disengage. So finding that community has been awesome. Sunny kind of sticks to her brothers though too. So, but I feel like for Andy and I, it's been really great. And then I've noticed as Sunny gets older that I hope that she's feels like she has peers also with Down syndrome to talk to. And that's where Terry Brown, we are in a group. Sunny used to go on her own, but now she has a group of actually boys, which I'm like, Sunny, we got to find you some girlfriends, but a group of boys. And I can tell that she like her shoulders go down when she's in that learning space with her peers with Down syndrome. So I feel like that's been really great.
And we don't have, even within our friend group, which Mercedes, so we have this, going back to like finding friends too, Mercedes and I already knew each other. And then my core group of friends within Down syndrome have been found randomly. Like Mercedes and I knew each other. And then there was our friend, Michelle Sullivan. She has started a business, Littlest Warrior. Her son, Eli, is Augie, close to Augie and, Sunny's age. And I was having breakfast with a mutual friend.
It's all these breakfasts.
Yes. Right.
just go out in the world. Everybody.
Who was like, my friend just had a baby with Down syndrome. You should meet them. And they happened at, I'm not joking, at the exact moment Michelle and her husband were on a walk with Eli, and he's this teeny tiny baby. And so we meet, exchange phone numbers. And then our friend Lindsay Bolton, she came to an Instagram meetup and that we did as a lucky few, and she showed up with her family, and she, you know, we just like hit it off, and that's our little core group in Southern California. So there's proximity, but it all was kind of random, you know. It wasn't like a lot of, I'm going to go find these friends. We just kind of happened into one another.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that. But even in that group of friends, Macy doesn't have a peer, you know? Yeah. And so, or she doesn't have a peer with Down syndrome. So you've got like Sunny and Ruby and
Augie.
Yeah. And Augie and Connor. They're literally all the same age, like within months of each other. Mm-hmm. And I really feel as Mason's getting older, I cannot say, like express how heavy it is. Mm. The friendship thing is so heavy. And I need her to have friends with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. She, I should say, I need her. That's probably unhealthy. she needs friends with disabilities and Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know where to go. So I can't answer that question, you know?
Yeah. Like, is that the double-edged sword too of, 'cause I'm feeling that way when, in talking about it, like of the whole inclusion aspect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, which is not a bad thing. You know, I want to tread lightly on it because it's obviously what we want, but that I feel like that's that double edged sword.
Yeah. But also there's no one in her school. I mean, she will be at a junior high school with 1500 kids as the only person with Down syndrome in the school. So
yeah, that's how it is usually, or that's how it is when we have attempted school. My journey is always so silly, but each time it's always like, I don't know, she's our only student with Down syndrome. I'm like, your only student out of hundreds? This is baffling to me.
I think everyone's in Utah.
I think so too.
Utah. Okay. I was wondering like, where they all were at.
I feel like all our friends in Utah who have kids with Down syndrome, there's always like 20 kids with Down syndrome hanging out. I'm like, what in the world? It's got it going on.
So the answer to the mom out there, where does she start? Go to Utah.
Go to Utah.
You'll find them. Yeah. But seriously, where does a new mom start, you guys? What, especially a new mom who's maybe not like super into social media.
The thing is though, it does call you out to actively search. So if you're not a person that can come out of that comfort zone, it'll be harder. You have to put yourself out there. You have to search and then show up.
You have to show up to the things.
You have to show. And I feel like, you know, that's a big ask for a person who doesn't do that. Right. So, and especially during an epic season in your life where it's like, whoa, this is huge. Plus if you're a new mom or you're a mom with a baby, having sometimes meetups or putting yourself out there seems a little daunting, but I think that's the only way because I don't know. That's the only way. Putting yourself out there, searching.
Yep. So here's our advice. You get on one of those lists, find DSDN, find a group near you.
Gigi's Playhouse.
Do your research. See if there's some sort of Down syndrome support within an hour of you and show up at their events. Even if it means you got to make the 45-minute drive.
100%.
Do it on a Saturday morning. You can do it. And it's that important to find the people.
And everybody showing up feels, if you are someone who's like, it's hard to show up, everybody showing up, it's hard to do. You know, everyone's in the same boat. Nobody's there like, oh, I've arrived. Oh, huh, you're here. No, everybody is so excited you're there.
Yes.
And has felt or continues to feel the way that you're feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
And navigating the relationship part and is there for the relationship. You know, like they are there because they want to know you and your kid and try to develop a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. So that hopefully that gives a little bit of comfort to the mom who's feeling panicked about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, moms, new moms out there, we feel you. It's a journey and we believe in you, especially that you can go to that Saturday morning park date. We know you can do it.
New moms and sorry, Micah, I won't interrupt. New moms and moms with older kids, because as Heather were talking, Macy still is needing that peer group. And this is coming over me now. And again, I tread lightly, but I encourage you to do the same.
Yes,
you
know,
once the pandemic is over, like show up. Because I do feel like too, because I kind of feel like I'm getting into the season where I'm comfortable where Sunny's at, you know what I mean? And then it's in those moments where they're like, oh wait, you kind of need a friend right now. And it's hard to, you know, like we have these, like, I feel like seasons where everything's fine and then something's brought to our attention.
Yeah.
Right. And then we're like, okay, we have to act on it.
Yeah.
So I feel like, new moms and seasoned moms just don't stop showing up. An encouragement to you and to me always.
Yeah. And I will say too, that we lived in Pasadena where there's a organization called Club 21, which if you are within that radius, go to Club 21 because they have for all ages and they're incredible. But we moved and we're over an hour away and we stopped going and we just signed Macy up for the group for her age. And we're going to be driving doing the drive because that is our best. I feel like that is our only, it is a best option. An hour away is not great because people are coming from other directions too. So then people could be as much as 2 hours from where we live, you know?
Like as far as like play dates go, you're saying, not play dates, I guess me, yes.
Like doing life together. But the once a month, at least there's going to be those relationships and Macy can have her shoulder down moments too, because she doesn't express a lot through like verbally, but she's stepping into these social settings stressed out too, you know, like it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So yes, I receive that and I am.
And you're doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it. And I'm motivated. Also, one last thing, start something, you guys, just start something. Like if you are a starter, do it. This is your call to action. Do the support group. Maybe one person shows up initially. Make it around something you enjoy. Do a park date once a week in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Don't wait for someone else to do it. You do it. I'll come. If you live in Redlands, do it.
I love that.
Yes. Okay. And on that note, on the showing up note, and the making it happen note, we're gonna hear from our sponsor, and then we're gonna show up again and give some good news. Yeah.
All right, friends, I'm here to talk to you about Sheltered Co. It's a wonderful quality company that makes weighted blankets. It's the only crocheted weighted blanket on the market. Its sturdy pattern will last over time, and it gets better and better with time. It comes in 3 sizes to choose from, and new colors come out every month. This quality blanket was created by a mother who has an autistic daughter, and she knows the importance of regulating your body and the need for better sleep. So if you are in the market for a quality weighted blanket, please check out Sheltered Co. It's crocheted by hand in Los Angeles with deadstock fabric that has no added filler. So you can head over there now, use the discount code LUCKYFEW15 for 15% off. And you guys, you won't regret it. This blanket, I have 2 of them myself. I love them for me personally and for all of my kiddos. It does get better with time, softer, and it's so gorgeous and will make any room in your home look so comfy and cozy and beautiful. Head over to shelteredco.com, use the LUCKYFEW15 for 15% off, and grab yourself a blanket. You won't regret it.
All right, Truly, take it away.
Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
You guys, good news, friends. I want to know what we're celebrating this week, you guys.
I'll have a celebration about August Riker Avis. You guys, August is so unbelievably capable, and I'm not going to say lazy, but just chooses when to,
to be.
Show up. God bless. And something as a parent, I just want my kids to get ready in the morning for the day,
yes,
and get ready for bed at night without me having to say it 100 times or physically do it, right?
Yeah.
I need some parenting help. But the other day it was August, you need to get dressed. And then I walked downstairs, and then he walked downstairs not too shortly after, totally dressed.
Yay, buddy.
That's huge.
Thank you, August.
Hey, buddy.
The little stinker, man.
Oh, man.
He had on it was really hot day, and he had on shorts and a t-shirt, but then he had on UGG boots.
Yes.
And, you know, that's fine.
It's fine. Totally fine.
It's fine. That's my good news.
I love it.
I have one. We got a trampoline.
Yes.
A month and a half ago or so. And it is just like, we're living the dream with the trampoline, and Ace can just jump for hours.
Buddy.
So now we're not only yesterday, actually he was jumping and I looked and he'd taken his pants off and was just jumping with a t-shirt.
Sounds awesome.
But between going to the pool and then jumping on the trampoline, that kid is going to sleep so hard at night.
Yes.
I just love an exhausted kid. I think this is bringing it full circle from what we said at the beginning of the episode, but like, tired kids in the summer is just the best.
It is.
Yes. So that's what I'm celebrating.
That is good news. Good news.
I love that. Let's see. I have one to share about Sunny and a read from a listener. Sunny May didn't forget how to swim, guys. I was real. I knew she wouldn't. She's like a fish underwater. But, you know, last year we had a pool at the place we lived at, and now we don't right now. And we went back to the pool and she swam across. So they have to test you, and it's COVID. So I think this isn't normally the case that you have to sign up for your time of when you get to go to the pool.
Oh, right.
Right now. And so, and they're like, you had to pass the deep end test. And I was real worried. I was like, oh gosh, you know, like, is she going to pass the deep end test? And she jumped in. The kicker is allowing goggles, and they totally allowed goggles. It was fine. So yeah. Then I was like, I think she can make it. And she did swam from one end. You can't hold on to the wall and blah, blah, blah. One end to the next. And
wow.
I'm like, she didn't forget. You know, I didn't mention anything.
I always do that. I'm like, okay, let's see what happens.
You got it, guys. This is totally fine. I just stay upbeat.
Awesome, Merce.
I know. I was really worried. She did great. Good. And so she gets to swim.
Good job, Sunflower.
And okay, so then now from a listener, Celebrate.
Ooh,
321. Yes. That's a cute name. That's from so cute. Celebrate 321 says, Z took 3 independent steps yesterday and is standing and cruising more each day.
Woohoo! That is such good news. I wanted my kid's nickname to be Z.
I know. Wow. That's sweet. And then I wonder then, is her full name Celebrate or Zella? Because to me now, if I meet her, Celebrate.
I think the Celebrate's the play on words, and I think her name's Zella.
I think it might be
Zella. That's what I was thinking too.
It's very
I'll
cool.
Call her Celebrate.
Yeah. Mercedes is calling you Celebrate. I'm calling you.
That's pretty beautiful. Okay.
I love that.
Yay. Okay. Well, just thanks for this conversation, my dears. And just all you listeners out there, especially you parents who are looking for community, we are, as we say every week, cheering for you. And reach out to us. Look at the list that is compiled in our show notes. And we just hope that you'll have the courage to reach out and find your people. And as always, friends, we're so thankful for Celebrate 321 and everyone else who reaches out to us. If we would love for you to leave us a voicemail or a DM on Instagram and share about your family or your good news about your loved one with Down syndrome, or if you are a person with Down syndrome and want to share what's going on in your life, we love it when you share with us. If you have a product or a business that wants to help us shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, we would love to partner with you. You can email hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for sponsorship opportunities. And we want to give a huge thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, our producer, Val Schleter, our sponsor, and all of you who continue to share the Lucky Few podcast with friends. Listen faithfully and cheer us on. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember that you, dear listener, supporting your loved one with Down syndrome or our dear listener who has Down syndrome, you are a shouter of worth and a narrative shifter. Keep on keeping on. We are cheering for you. See you next week, friends. Bye.
Bye.